Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Howdy, third hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on this Football Friday. We're squeezing a little hoops here, though, because we want to circle back to something with Jimmy Butler. We'll do that in a moment as we continue rolling right along inside of our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently here. 855-212-4227. At Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Well, by the way, what are you doing this weekend? You going down
I'm going down to UVA. For some reason, playing? we scheduled our homecoming versus the U.
Why in the world would you do that?
No idea. But I'm taking the boys. I'm going up to I'll go up to Connecticut right after the show today, get AJ and Chasen. And we're going to drive down to my mom's house in Maryland. And then on Saturday, we'll head down to UVA. The game's not till 7. So we'll hang around campus, do some things, see some people, go to the game, spend the night, come back home.
Yeah, come on back home. How do they, I know what they do for me when I go up to Marist with the family. I didn't even play football at Marist. Yeah. What do they roll out for you to show up?
They take care of us. They put us in a suite and, you know, we can go down on the field if we want to. I actually might want to try to get the boys into the locker room. Just to see what it's like. Different.
I mean, they're
both playing high school, and then obviously freshman, but it's not really high school, but you know what I mean.
I got you.
So they're playing high school football. It's just a different world to see it on
their eyes
on a college
next level.
Exactly.
That's great.
And we've had Bronco Mendenhall on maybe two or three times.
At least twice. I think once when I was off, too, he was on with you.
But I haven't met him yet.
So cool.
I want to meet him, too. So it'll be cool. It'll be a great weekend. They're honoring Sean Moore as the Virginia legend. This weekend, Sean Moore was a great college quarterback at the University of Virginia. Spent about a decade.
Almost as good as Kellen Moore from Boise State.
In the NFL.
I'm kidding.
But he spent a decade or so as backup. The problem was he ended up in Denver.
Yeah.
You know, he was backing up Johnny. You're not beating out John Elway.
I'm beating out Johnny Boy, not the first overall pick from Stanford.
But he's great. Yeah, Sean is great. And I think there'll be a bunch of other guys there as well. Because it's homecoming.
Great. But why do you play Miami on homecoming? What's the spread on that? You see that, Diesel?
I think it's 6.
I know you guys aren't laying them, so you're 6-point dogs.
Yeah.
You guys have to be the only team that's underdogs in the country on homecoming.
Yes, but this is upset alert. I told
7-point dogs.
I told Berkowitz.
I would ride you guys. I would do that. I would take Virginia.
I told Berkowitz, as you know, Ron Berkowitz, MWW, Burke PR. I said, be on upset alert.
Now, he's a fanatical Miami fan.
He's huge.
He loves him.
He's like, maybe. Maybe. Maybe.
By the way,
shout out to Burke's dad, by the way, who just had open heart surgery. He's on the mend, doing
hang
well.
In there.
So,
yeah, no doubt, Mr. Berkowitz. Yep. We can go up and feel better. That's not a small incision right there. God bless, no doubt. So when the kids see pictures of you on campus, it's probably a little different than the Giants. It's probably got to hit them a little differently.
Yeah, because they
humanizes
have
you a little bit more.
They have weren't born.
But what do they say? Do they make fun of you?
You know, honestly, this will be the first time I've been down there with the boys.
Ah, this is going to be great.
At this age. I mean, when they were babies, we would go. When I was still married to their mom. But now, as grown-ups and like many adults, I haven't taken this trip with them
yet. Just kick back and watch their eyes go wide and enjoy
cool.
the moment. That's going to be
cool.
Great, man. Good for you, buddy. All right, so one of the things that you and I really got into yesterday, really the last couple of days here, it's been the central NBA story outside of watching Lonzo and LeBron the other night, you know, oop it up a little bit and watching Lonzo trying to smooth out his mechanics on his jump shot, is the whole Jimmy Butler situation with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, we're not going to do a ton of this because we have to get to our picks. We want to get some more college football here, but there are three pretty pertinent sound bites that I think we should play to at least connect the dots and fulfill the back end of the story here, since we gave it a lot of attention. Now, there's a preseason game tonight. So if you're wondering, hey, did Jimmy Butler practice today? Because they called off yesterday's practice. There's no practice to call off. And he's not playing the game tonight to answer that question. So they're playing the Bucks. He's not scheduled to play. Let's hear from Tom Thibodeau first up. And Tom, trying to keep this old school in-house. Here's the coach of the T-Wolves.
Some things that have been reported are correct. Some are not. So You know, and it's not uncommon when players scrimmage that, you know, there'll be some talk. And so it was competitive.
Would you like to clarify what was incorrectly reported?
No, I'm not going to get into all that stuff. That's you guys, you know, I'm not answering to all the rumors and stuff that gets put out that's garbage.
Okay, there you go. That's what we were talking about with Shermer and how, you know, Belichick, sometimes you just got to squash it.
You're right.
The just more you give it life. It.
Yeah, just don't answer it. Don't even respond, because the more you respond, the more they're going to ask. Right, they're gonna try to catch you in saying something that is misaligned with what you said before, and then you get yourself in bad situations when you answer controversial type questions like that. Handle it in house.
Yeah, if you can,
or
you
trade them,
and certainly or trade them, or finally get rid of them. Yeah. I've always wondered, like somebody like Woj, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does he get the verbatim account? I mean, I know the answer is obviously somebody tells him.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, aside from the fact that you've got to figure out what we're going to do with Jimmy Butler, don't you say to yourself, man, we got a mole in here. We can't
–
we don't have the –
somebody was sitting there testing. Like, this is what is happening right now. You won't believe it.
Or they could have called him after. But text probably
it's
more likely.
I mean, some cases it's ownership wanting to get their side of the story out.
Sometimes it is, sure.
And so,
sure. But that would not behoove ownership to do that, because that would compromise their leverage. Because the more disgruntled he is, then how can you actually ask for anything?
True, but
really
doesn't it make their point? But doesn't it make their point? Like, now you see why we need to get rid of this guy.
Make the T-Wolves point?
Yeah, of course.
The owner's point.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I mean. It offsets what Thibodeau's trying to do.
True.
And that's keep him there.
That's true.
So you know Thibodeau didn't send it.
Yeah, do you think he's long for there?
I think he's got another 2 years on his contract. Mm-hmm. Can you see that, D-Cell? Look at it, because I want to play something else for you. Do I think he's long for there? It depends, because you know that he's a Butler guy. And if Butler gets dealt, and he's just left with Karl Anthony Towns, who we love, but he's got the contract now, and he's got the hammer now based on the contract and his draft status.
Talking about Cat does.
Cat.
Yep.
Could there be a thawing of, you know, Thibs called him out a little bit last year? I don't know that Thibodeau is long for any job, because he's a high energy, in your face. While I think he's dialed it down a little bit for the modern athlete.
Yep, that's why I asked.
He's a tough sell
every
day, I think
you're right. We saw, even after the successes that he had in Chicago, it just they wore him out.
I know.
Guys got tired of it.
And
that was with some old school. That's with some old heads. Those were the guys that got it.
No problem scrapping, of course. Playing hard and practicing hard. Jimmy Butler, I got you.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's how long it's going to last with some of these younger kids.
Yeah, and he's got to win. He's got to win. Karl Anthony Towns. Is the question in here or no? This is just KAT? This is just Cat. Why is it KAT? This is Karl Anthony Towns saying basically just ready to move forward. Go ahead, guys.
I think the only thing that needs to be clarified is we're excited to pick up a basketball today here in Milwaukee. So it's been a long time before we played our last game, so we're going to have fun tonight.
Are you guys getting tired of having to answer questions about this? I mean, the look says it all right now.
I mean, are you tired of hearing me say, want to play Boston basketball today here in Milwaukee? Please let me know.
Will you be happy to pick up a basketball if Jimmy Butler is still on this team Wednesday night?
I'm happy to play basketball, anybody.
He's so over this. He doesn't want to talk about it.
Great question, though,
buddy. It is a very great question.
The way he phrased that?
I know.
He used Carl's answer. And then he inserted Butler.
Uh-huh.
You have to answer this.
Of course.
And Karl Anthony Towns answered pretty well.
He
but
did.
You could tell there's something dripping from the words. It's obviously, there's tension. There is no doubt. Now, this might be the most poignant response of all. Taj Gibson, who played with him in Chicago, knows Butler very well. Here's what Taj Gibson said about Jimmy B.
I've been around Jimmy for a long time, so we always had practices like that in Chicago. So it was always a good competition. And at the end of the practice, everybody just shook up, and we still understood we was teammates.
Okay, and the crazy thing about this is that these, you know, as we watch, what's the name of it? Love of the Game was with Kevin Costner and Kelly Preston.
I know, but I feel like it was a mimic.
Movie, by the way.
I feel like it was a mimic of Love and
Basketball. Love. What's the name of the show?
And Basketball, maybe?
Maybe. How
I can't remember now, but yeah, you're right.
He's not even looking at us.
he's looking it up.
I know he is. Putting the tension on him. He's getting a little worked up.
Love and Basketball.
I told you. I thought it was the name of a movie.
No, that's not the... The one with Allen Houston?
No, one with, yeah.
Allen Houston. That wasn't Love and Basketball.
Love and Basketball had a Omar Epps.
No, it wasn't that. It was a little different. The title wasn't quite the same. But it might be, maybe the premise is the same. Who the hell even knows what we're talking about?
Correct him. It was Love and Basketball with Omar Epps, right? It had to. I'm pretty positive it was.
Boy, now we just go down the ridiculous, you know, the movie.
Go in the rabbit hole, D-Cell.
Ignore him. Get in the rabbit hole. Ignore him, we'll never transition. Ignore him. Jimmy Butler. All right, the T-Wolves. He's a beast. He's old school. Got to respect it.
Yeah.
College football. Wanted to at least pay that off because we did follow that story all week here on Tiki and Tierney. Obviously, we'll do football the rest of the way here. You know, we can circle back to the conversation we had about Notre Dame there, inbounds, out of bounds, where, you know, can you envision a scenario where if they were on the table, could they possibly still be shut out of the championship? I don't see it.
No,
because
they're
already high enough.
Agreed.
Exactly. Now, if they were like 11,
That's exactly why, BT, because they're sitting in the top 10 already. They play Pittsburgh, who had a scrappy game against Syracuse.
Syracuse almost beat them.
They did beat them.
Syracuse did beat them.
They beat Syracuse. So Pittsburgh's feeling.
Wasn't Syracuse big in that game and Pitt came back?
They were 14. Dude, I picked that. They were up 14.
14 zip.
I stopped paying attention. I was like, all right, Syracuse got this. This is a wash.
That's your first mistake. You started counting money before you actually watched the game.
It was three. They were laying three. They were up 14 in the first quarter. Two drives, they're up 14. I'm like, dude, I don't need to pay attention to this game. They end up getting waxed the rest of the way. But anyways, Pittsburgh's feeling good about themselves, but I do think that Notre Dame takes care of business. Then they play Navy, who is always tough because of the way the offense. Northwestern, surprisingly
didn't
good.
Navy just get rolled by Air Force, or had that the other way around? We're going down all these rabbit holes today.
Yeah, I know, but that's it.
I feel
sometimes.
Like Navy didn't play well.
Navy got crushed by Air Force.
Yeah, I thought
35-7.
Yeah,
but
they played.
I'm just talking about the style of play of Navy. It's like damaging to the team.
Sure.
Northwestern surprisingly good this year.
Northwestern,
Notre
Dame's going to destroy.
I agree, but Northwestern is not a team that's going to lay over like they have in previous.
Well, I'm
years.
Not saying they're going to quit, but Notre Dame's going to flex
Florida State.
On them.
Not vintage. I think they win that game relatively easily.
Yep.
We'll see where Dino Babers get Syracuse back from their loss from a week ago to Pittsburgh, and then USC.
He's doing a good job out there, too.
I agree. My point is, these aren't like layup games. You know, not like you're saying, yeah, you got this team. Yeah, Northwestern, yeah. But Northwestern's okay this year.
You know what I didn't hear? I didn't hear that they have to play Clemson.
No, you're right.
Or Ohio State.
There's nobody
or
left.
Or Georgia.
There's nobody left that's ranked. And there's nobody left that I think has been ranked other than Syracuse. So that's the one negative.
Notre Dame is, listen, I really believe, and we see this in college hoops all the time, as well as college football, obviously. When you look at like the top 25 preseason, AP top 25.
Yep.
There's always an inflation for certain programs just to kind of increase the enthusiasm. Like if you see Kentucky, right? If you're a fringe college basketball fan, you love Thursday and Friday, first week of the tournament. You love Selection Sunday. You love the Big East tournament and like conference tournament. And you'll watch a couple, but you're not a devout fan. You just pop in and out. If you pick up a publication or a website and you see Kentucky ranked number 25, or Syracuse ranked number 25, or on a down year, Michigan State ranked number 25, or UCLA number 25, versus Creighton.
Yeah.
Or UNLV.
Yeah, we're talking basketball here.
UMass. Yeah. UNLV's not a good, because there's the old UNLV.
Yeah.
Or UMass, or somebody like that. You're like, oh, wow, Kentucky. It pulls you in. It's aesthetically pleasing to the eyes.
Right.
Because there's immediate identification with the brand. And I think what happens with college football, which is my point, Notre Dame has all too often and far too often been artificially pumped up as to what they are not. When they played with Manti Te'o, when this is the first year we did the show, when they played in that championship game,
waxed.
It was the freshman versus the varsity.
They were outmatched, and the game was over when they walked out for warm-ups.
Yes. Te'o looked like he was playing in quicksand.
Yeah.
That was an embarrassment. And this Notre Dame team is really, really good.
Agreed.
They're legitimate.
I agree. There's some good games this weekend as well.
Washington, Oregon. That's a tricky game. That's in Eugene.
Yep,
that's
going to
be a really
Washington,
good game.
Texas, can they follow up on their big upset last week of Oklahoma?
It's a good call,
which led to the firing of Mike Stoops, which has been long needed, I think, from the defensive side of the ball. They got talent on that defense.
The Red River Robbery.
The Red River Robbery. Red River Shootout. Yeah. It was 90 points in that game. They hired, interestingly, the interim now defensive coordinator is Ruffin McNeil. He's done some good stuff on all the stops that he's been in, including at Virginia for a season back in 2016. But he's a good defensive coach, and hopefully he gets the most out of those guys, because even though they now have a tick in the loss column, it's not over for Oklahoma, because it's the way their schedule works, who they have to play and beat, and if they win the Big 12 championship, they can find themselves back into the conversation, but they got to start playing
better. But not if Notre Dame's undefeated.
If Notre Dame is undefeated, if another team that's unforeseen right now ends up winning a conference, surprisingly.
You know, I didn't even realize that Texas is up to 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know what happened. Of course, they lost to Maryland, and I follow them each week, but I didn't realize they were top 10.
Yeah, well, the beauty of the Big 10, the Big 12, I should say, from Oklahoma's standpoint, is that when they get to the championship game, they're going to play the second-best team or the first-best team in the conference. There's not divisions.
Correct, so they'll have a chance to increase.
Like, it's not like Duke winning the Coastal.
Or Atlantic, I think it is.
Yeah,
right?
Coastal and Atlantic. So it's not like Duke winning and playing Florida State when it's just a mismatch.
So you really get a chance to enhance your standing a little.
Absolutely.
No, that's definitely a built-in advantage.
So as long as they fix their defensive woes, they're in a bye week right now, Oklahoma. There's still hope, even though that loss last week was ugly.
Always good when the traditional powers start to flex a little bit. Nice to see Coach Herman getting it going out there in Texas. When Texas is good, college football's a little bit better.
I agree.
All right, T, coming up, six-pack of picks. We'll make our picks. We'll battle the spread. We'll make you some money. Get you some wins. Coming up, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Great way to save money. Switch over to GEICO. Go to geico.com, but in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. So we'll get to our picks in a moment. Let's see. Teak was 2-4 a week ago.
Boo.
Yeah, it's all right.
NFL just screwed me last weekend. I was 0-4.
Did you go 0-3?
0-4 in the NFL.
Ooh. 13-18 on the season. All right, Teak, you got to start picking it up, buddy.
Well, man, don't worry.
I'm just saying,
We're a quarter of a way through the season. Dude, we're good,
but
man.
When you got to play catch up and you have no choice but to go like 5-1 and 4-2 to catch up.
Well, 6-0 then coming this weekend.
All right. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see you go 6-0. Great for our listeners. Great for you. Yeah. So, Teak is 13-18. I was 3-3 a week ago, 17-12-1. What is that, about 51%? 57%? 56.5%, something like that. So, all right, I'm a little bit below of where I expect to be. I expect to be north of 60, and hopefully when I bang out at least 5 today, we'll get north of 60. Teak, you ready to make some picks?
Yep, let's go.
Okay.
Before I ever ran a casino or got myself blown up, Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that. I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country. I'm serious. I had it down so cold that I was given paradise on earth.
Forget about Vegas and your buddy Joey. We got your winners right here. It's Tiki and Tierney's six-pack of picks.
Okay, no Friday night special tonight. I went to the well last week, and I didn't hit. Matter of fact, Louisville got absolutely shellacked. Nice. So, when you lose by that margin, let's put it on ice for a little bit. Let's let it marinate. We'll get back to your Friday night special. Not tonight. That was ugly. I'm going to lie to you here. All right, so we start conventional Saturday stuff. First up, we've got Akron and Buffalo. A little MAC action here. Buffalo 4-1. They're the Bulls. Akron's just got one win on the season. Now, the Bulls very well might be the best team of the MAC right here. I like what they do. It's a big spread, minus 11.5 points. Keep in mind, it opened at 10.5. It's jumped to 11.5. So a lot of money coming in on the Bulls, and I think a lot of money's coming in on the Bulls for the right reason. Bulls are a superior team. Akron had the fluky, with all due respect, win against Northwestern. And really, the only game that Buffalo hasn't played well in is the Army game, and they really played poorly and actually picked Army in that game. So I've gone against Buffalo once here. This time I ride the Bulls, minus 11.5 at home. Buffalo, minus 11.5. You lay it, you should be in pretty good shape. I like that one a lot. How about this? This is an odd one. UNLV, I'm going to reach into this well. UNLV, plus 27. at Utah State.
Wow, that's a big one.
We're reaching here, right?
But 27, though. That's a lot of points.
Well,
man.
Listen, when I see a big number like this, I say, all right, 27. Can they maybe get a lucky touchdown early and kind of make 27 become 34? And the answer for me is yeah, with this matchup, with this setup here. UNLV, by the way, they're not good. I'm not trying to say that they're very good, but they are 3-1 against the spread. They've been heavy dogs a lot this year, so they actually wear that crown pretty well. They lose, but they don't get thumped by as many points as the people, as the odds makers think that they should. So this is a little bit too good to pass up, in my opinion. Almost 4 touchdowns. I'll take the run and reps out of UNLV. Plus 27 on the road at Utah State. Up next, another big underdog. So I'm going 2 big dogs here. Wyoming, not with Josh Allen, whoever their quarterback is now. I forget his name, but he ain't Josh Allen. Plus 18. They are at Fresno State. Jeff Tedford, former Cal coach, amongst other places.
Tedford, I remember. Yeah.
He's done a nice job at Fresno State in the Mountain West there. Why this number is appealing to me real fast, but Wyoming is a big dog, plus 18, as I said. But the total is, the over-under is 43. It doesn't make sense to me. That's
a big number to be
appealing to me. Exactly.
Low of 44.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it seems uneven. It seems.
Yeah, they almost have to shut them out.
Incongruent. Yeah, the over does not seem to match the number.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, doing some research. Fresno State and Wyoming, they do not run a lot of plays here. They're like 112th and 100 in the country, so there's not going to be a lot of action. I just don't think that Fresno State scores enough points to cover the 18. Could be wrong, but I'm going to take Wyoming. Give me the Cowboys, plus 18. Up next, NFL, Carolina at Washington. The Redskins, I've ridden them once. I won. I've ridden them lost. Well, once I've lost, so I'm kind of 1-1 with them. I like the over in this game. The over-under is 44.5 here. Carolina looks like they get Olsen back. McCaffrey's doing his thing in space. I think eventually, Alex Smith's going to start putting a few points on the board. I think it's not a high number. Over-under 44.5 in the modern NFL. Take my chances with that. Take the over in the Carolina Skins game. Up next, the Falcons, -3 against the Bucs. They're hosting the Bucs, by the way, so it's indoors on the quick carpet, not going to be wet. Listen, the Bucs might score a lot because the Falcons can't stop you. The Falcons will win this game, and the Falcons will score minimum 35, probably 40 points. I'll lay the 3. That seems like a minuscule number to lay. I like it. Give me the Falcons, -3. And finally, Chiefs, +3.5 at Pats. Hey, I've been singing their praise since the summer. I'm going to take the 3 and a hook, and I'm going to give my boy Patty Mahomes a chance to sling it throw for throw with the great Tom Brady to go put some points up on the board. I'll take the Chiefs, +3.5. Buffalo, not the Bills, the Bulls. College, -11.5. Wyoming, +18. UNLV, +27. College, NFL, Carolina Redskin over-under is 44.5. Give me the over. Give me the Falcons, -3. And give me Kansas City. +3 to hook to hang Sunday night. T, go get him, buddy.
All right, I'm heading to the Army just for this game. Army, -15 at San Jose State. Army has the 3rd best offense in college right now, and they're going up against the 0-5, 58th-ranked Spartan defense. They run this crazy triple option, which we've all seen. In contrast, the Spartans are dead last in the FBS and rushing the ball. Army's winning this game easily, definitely more by more than 15. Give me Army, -15. Central Florida, -4.5 at Memphis. Remember this game from the AAC Championship last year. It was an unbelievable game. Memphis is led by their quarterback, Brady White. 15 touchdowns, 1 interception on the season. This will be a high-scoring affair. Let's also consider the over for this one, by the way. It's 81. I would probably go over, even though it's 81, but I'm not doing that. UFC is playing with a chip on their shoulder right now. For credibility, for mid-majors, they were left out of the college football playoff conversation last year. They're 18-0 going in from last season. They want to prove they belong in the conversation. This is going to be a high-scoring affair, maybe a tight one, but I think UCF finds a way to win this one by a touchdown, maybe even less. Virginia Tech, -6 at North Carolina. UNC's coming off an embarrassingly bad loss to the U last week. D-Cell, they're 1-3 on the season. They're reeling. They're mistake-prone. They're consistently negative in the turnover margin. That will continue against a very aggressive and opportunistic Virginia Tech Hokie defense. UNC has issues at quarterback. They have to stick with Nathan Elliott because Chaz Surratt, who they wanted to get some reps, made an idiotic decision on campus and is not eligible for this game. Ryan Wills will have another great game under he's getting some experience under his belt. That's the quarterback for Virginia Tech. I like Virginia Tech -6 at North Carolina. Get to the National Football League. Minnesota -10, big number for the National Football League, but they're hosting the Arizona Cardinals. They have a vet QB versus a rook QB. The Vikings are considerably the better team. This one will be all about execution, and I think Cousins and his wide receiver playmaking group, Diggs and Thielen, will be much better than Josh Allen, or Josh Rosen, I should say, in this Cardinals team whose defense has been bad. Their offense has been worse. David Johnson seems lost. He does not trust this offensive line when you watch it on tape. He's making cuts like he's getting hit, and he's not even getting a hit. They're going to beat the crap out of Arizona, I think, this weekend.
This has 34-13 written all over it.
No doubt about it. Minnesota -10. Seattle -2.5 at Oakland. Now, this one is in Oakland. It's an odd game.
No, it's in London.
I know. It's Oakland's the home team, but it's an odd game because it's across the pond and Wembley. A 7 p.m. local, too. Usually these are like midday games that are aired early in the morning here. It's aired 1 o'clock locally, so it's 7 o'clock. It'll be a night game that we're watching in the daytime. Here, I think the experienced team matters here, and that would be Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Their run game looked solid last week, 190 yards against the Rams. They're going up against the Raiders D, which is 28. Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Jared Cook, they're good talent players. Derek Carr has been actually been playing really well, but he has 8 interceptions. I think that continues. This is not the Legion of Boom of old, but they are still very aggressive. I like Seattle -2.5. At Oakland, at Wembley. Pittsburgh, Cincy, over here, 52.5. Cincy's the number 4 scoring offense in football. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the number 5 scoring offense in football. Both of these teams' defenses are in the bottom quarter of the league. They just haven't figured it out yet. 2 vet QBs, they're fighting for respect in Cincinnati with Andy Dalton. And Big Ben is fighting to invigorate a team that dealt with a ton of all-season drama. I think he gets this right. Lots of points in this one. Don't know who's going to win. Probably say Pittsburgh, but I think that this game is going to go well over 52.5. So give me Army -15 at San Jose State. Central Florida -4.5 at Memphis. Virginia Tech -6 at North Carolina. Minnesota hosting the Arizona Cardinals -10. Give me them. Seattle -2.5 at Oakland, at Wembley, and Pittsburgh Cincy over 52.5.
Okay, so Teague's trying to have a big week, get back to 60%. I'm trying to fly past the 60 percentile. So I heard a lot of winners in there. Good job on that, Teague. I heard a couple of ones that I really liked that I actually thought about, too. It's funny. It's a couple that you named I was actually kicking the tires on going for. And it's funny that you picked the couple of ones that I was looking at. So good job on that. D-Cell's going to get them up on social media, Twitter, all that stuff, Facebook, and everything. We'll come back. We'll whip around the rest of the games, the ones we haven't touched, tell you who's going to win, give you a little context for the games. That's After Acts Update, which is right now. Here's Rich. All right. We still have to do our whip around here on the show, so we'll bounce through all the other games. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. First up, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Billy boy. Billy in Detroit says, can Andy Reid win in New England, or will he crumble like usual?
I think he can win in New England, DT.
A little more respect than that.
Pat Mahomes is immune to pressure. He can win.
Don't disagree, but Willie, well, I'm going to have to answer that before we get out of here. I think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. You know, we didn't get to mention this, but the news about Didi Gregorius' elbow, Tommy John.
I know.
I heard part of the press conference driving in with Cashman locally on FAN. They were piping it through. And I didn't hear if it was his throwing elbow. Of course, I mean, I now know that, and I have for hours, that it is. That is really problematic in the sense that you have to wonder, not that we really need to dive into this now, but just to acknowledge it on the air, because he's a really good player.
Yep.
And he's getting better, hitting his prime. They might have to, I don't know if this changes what they may or may not have done with Machado.
It's a great point.
I don't know if I want to put Torres at shortstop April, May, nope. June, July. I don't know if I want to do that.
You may see them make a move.
They might. Could be a lower-level move.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't overreact to it, but just something to think about. That's a big injury for the Yankees. He's really good.
Yeah, and he's because it's so late, he's definitely missing time.
Oh, he's missing at least April, May, June. I mean, if he's playing by the 4th of July, I would be a little surprised personally. So it's going to be a while. You ready to whip around here, Teague?
Yep, let's go.
Let's go.
Chargers, Cleveland Browns.
Okay, this will be fun. Chargers, 3,000 miles, 3-2. The Browns, 2-2-1. The dog pound is in the house now. Snoop is now a fan of the Browns. What do you see happening?
You know, this is an interesting game. It's kind of a pick 'em right now because that's how much respect the Browns are getting. I think this is the continued evolution of Baker Mayfield. More importantly, Phillip Rivers is having an historic season for him and for the Los Angeles Chargers. So this is going to be a quarterback battle, as odd as that may seem, with the Browns. This is going to be an interesting one.
Well, I don't think that the players think this way. Maybe a little. Well, we'll go out to take on the Browns. They stink. But if the players are thinking that, which, by the way, is totally incorrect,
yeah.
You know the head coach is trying to get out in front of this and make sure his team knows these are not the same old Browns.
Cleveland's a good football team. Very good young football team that's learning how to win. And, we knew they were good last year when we played them. We struggled to get points on the board against that defense. And so it's going to be a dogfight, but they all are. So it's nothing that we hadn't seen before.
All right. I'm torn here, man. I really like this Chargers team. We both like them coming in. Certainly acknowledge some of those Browns defenders. I mean, they are really good. I could see the Browns winning this game.
Me too. It's going to be chilly.
I
would pick the Browns.
Yeah.
I'm picking the Browns.
All right.
The Chicago Bears, the Miami Dolphins.
All right, so this one's in Miami. Bears 3-1 coming off the bye. The Dolphins 3-2. Weird game. A tale of two halves. Up 17-0 on the Bengals. Then just absolutely stopped playing, and they got drilled. This is one of those pivotal games for them.
Yep.
But also, have the Bears handle prosperity coming
off
the
bye. Yeah, you're right. I think it comes down to defense. Khalil Mack is going to get after him. Akeem Hicks is going to get after him. He has 3 sacks on the season already. I think the Bears defense continues its acceleration. More importantly, I think the Bears offense now has confidence. Mitch Trubisky feels like, I'm starting to get this, and that's dangerous for a team in Miami that started to take a slide back from their quick start.
You know, we've heard a lot from Matt Nagy, coach of the Bears, about his offense and how we've used Trubisky. Here's Nagy's thoughts on Ryan Tannehill.
He was a great runner and could make things happen. He, a lot of great runs with his legs, but he's developed into a really good quarterback that makes great decisions. He's played well consistently. I think he's had a good career.
The Indianapolis Colts, the New York Jets.
All right, this one's a couple of miles from here. The Colts, who are 1-4, tacked on a couple of cosmetic scores late in that Pats game. Andrew Luck is throwing the hell out of it, but he's actually playing pretty well. He's on pace for a really big season statistically, but they haven't won. Just 1 out of 5 games. The Jets are 2-3, coming off a nice win against the Denver Broncos. I'll take the reins on this, my man, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
I'll tell you why I'm so excited about this. First of all, I think the Jets have a really good chance to win this game, and if they don't, it's another indictment on Bowles not following up a win with another good performance. I think the Jets will play well. You know why I'm really excited? Darnold, the 3 touchdowns. They opened up the playbook. I just want to sit back and watch him sling it a little bit. I'm pumped up to watch this game.
Yeah, I agree. They're splitting carries between Bilal Powell and Isaiah Crowell, but we saw that the game breaker on this Jets offense, it's obviously Robbie Anderson. I'm talking about from a backfield position. It's Isaiah Crowell, right? It's not how he came into the season. If the Jets want to win this game, and I think they can because the Colts are compromised in a lot of ways. Andrew Luck can play great. They still find ways to lose games.
T.Y. Hilton's still banged up.
Exactly. They're injured all over the place. Isaiah Crowell's got to be featured as opposed to being the change of pace dude.
One thing, if you're going to do this fantasy, look at the point spreads. He's been a little bit nicked up in practice this week. Crowell's not been full go, so you got to take a look at that. Here's Todd Bowles, Andrew Luck, back to being Andrew Luck.
Outstanding quarterback, knows the game inside out. You're not going to surprise him with anything. He's seen everything. He's very accurate, and he knows the offense inside out. We just got to try to slow him down and disrupt him and hope he has a bad day.
The Buffalo Bills, the Houston Texans.
All right, so the Texans, beneficiaries of Jason Garrett's passive play at the end of that game on Sunday night. Take it on the Bills, who, let's face it, they're 2-3. They've got 2 more wins than we thought they'd have at this point.
Yeah, you're right. The Bills' defense is playing really good, and that's what's holding them together. Their offense has been abysmal. Even though that one game, Josh Allen looked fantastic moving the ball out of the moving himself out of the pocket, makes things happen with his legs. He did it again last week. But that's only so long. It can only carry so far. I think the Texans find a way to win this game because Deshaun Watson, despite their team playing bad, has been amazing in the last three games. I think that continues, especially with those receivers that he has.
Yeah, and just to illuminate the strength of the Bills, as Tiki said, he's right. Their defense is really good. They're giving up 12 points a game, and they already have 2 wins.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that tells you right there that there's, they're scoring 12 a game. I'm sorry. They're not putting a lot up, but yet they've squeezed out a couple of wins. One, of course, was in Minnesota. Very impressive. Bill O'Brien's been around a little bit, knows the Bills' defense. No joke.
I think this is a really tough football team that plays hard. Let's just start on defense. Jerry Hughes is having a Pro Bowl year. Kyle Williams, like, we've been going against this guy since I was in New England. Tre'Davious White, one of the best young corners in the league. Lorenzo Alexander, can't believe I left him out. Very, very talented bunch of guys.
The Rams, the Denver Broncos.
Oh, it sounded like an automated one, didn't it? The Rams.
I had to edit out St. Louis.
Nick Foles, St. Louis Rams. The Rams and the Broncos. Broncos looked like dirt against the Jets. Rams 5-0. Case Keenum scaring nobody. The only question is, and it shouldn't be a question, but is there any disinterest on the part of the Rams? Because if there's not, they should destroy them.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's disinterest. The only issue, and we saw the Kansas City Chiefs struggle with this a couple of weeks ago, is the altitude. It wears on you. It makes it hard for you to breathe, to get dehydrated quickly. As long as they run and gun and create the illusion of complexity. That's Sean McVay's word, illusion of complexity. I think they can find a way to beat this Denver Broncos team, even though it's on the road, and they finish week six, 6-0.
The illusion of complexity. Basically make them see something that's not there.
You're right.
I got you.
Start guessing.
Uh-huh. Who said that? Wait, Sean Payton said that?
No.
I know who said it now, but didn't Payton say it back in the
day?
Oh,
yeah, of course.
He said something like that. Similar.
Without a doubt.
So everybody, they just take the saying and they kind of tweak it, they modernize it.
He used it, you know, more in locker room term.
A little more gruff manner. Todd Gurley, you mentioned the altitude, the cold weather. Gurley says, no problem, we're good.
They say you just got to deal with it.
How about cold weather kinds of situations? Do you have much experience playing in those kinds of conditions?
A couple games, but... once you get out there and get to running around, it's just, you know, they got the heated benches and the heaters on the side, so it's not that bad. It's usually just kind of the warm-up.
The Jacksonville Jaguars, the Dallas Cowboys.
Just as a side note, I really like Todd Gurley. He's obviously a great player. He's just a good kid, too.
I do. Rock Nation kid. Love him. He's awesome.
He's a good kid. He's good. He's great for that team, that market, too. So the Jags 3-2, the Cowboys 2-3. Let's play this real fast. Zeke Elliott, Teague, now. We know it's been a strange week with people questioning the teammates, questioning the schematics of what they're doing. Zeke says, we're holding together. We ain't quitting.
I mean, there hasn't been any finger pointing at all. As an offense, you know, we've struggled this year. And when we go over to defense, like, hey, we're sorry. You know, we didn't hold up our end. You know what I mean? There's more. No, we need to do more. You know what I mean? We need to go out there and win that game. You guys don't have to go out there and win it. We run the pitch and go out there and win it. So, I mean, there's enough accountability in this locker room and that, you know, there's not going to be any finger pointing.
All right, Teague. So, barring something wacky, a punt return, a blocked punt, a pick six, how do the Dallas Cowboys score points against this Jaguars defense?
They got to take one back on Blake Bortles. Got to do it on defense.
And they could.
They could.
That defense is legit.
Honestly, that's the only way I see the Cowboys winning this game.
I don't disagree with that.
The Baltimore Ravens, the Tennessee Titans.
All right, both teams, first of all, I think the Ravens are a little bit better. Yeah. I like the Ravens as a team in totality more than Tennessee, but that was a perplexing showing in Cleveland. And the Titans, they're both 3-2, but the Titans don't really move me to really get behind them with any sort of energy. What do you see shaking out here?
Yeah, agree. This is a Titans team that's not explosive at all. They have troubles in the red zone. Going against one of the better defenses in the National Football League. I think the advantage, even though this is in Tennessee, goes to the Baltimore Ravens. But Marcus Mariota's shown some magic. And so they find ways under their new head coach to win. But I still think this is the Baltimore Ravens game to win. As long as they get back to doing the good things that they were doing earlier in the season, making big plays, not being conservative once you get in the red zone or get on the positive side of the 50, I think Baltimore should win this game.
All right, John Harbaugh, he's got a championship, and he says, you know what, even though they haven't put up the numbers yet, Tennessee's offense can still get clicking. Here he is.
Tennessee's got very good offense. They have very good players. They got a quarterback that's a pass and a run quarterback. Creates a problem for you. Veteran offensive line that gets on people, doesn't make mistakes. So we just have to defend the offense that we're going to get and have to play good defense.
All right, so there it is, our Week 6 NFL whip around here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. What a good week, man.
Yeah, it was. I wonder if they find ways, John Harbaugh, to include Lamar Jackson more in the red zone conversation. You know, because they lost last week. They shouldn't have lost that game against the Cleveland Browns. They lost it because
they couldn't
score. And if you have an asset like Lamar Jackson, who's just a freak athlete, use him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't want to play, whatever, slot, put him there, right?
Make him think about something.
Let him, exactly.
The illusion, what was the saying again?
The illusion of complexity.
The illusion of complexity.
If you're not doing that as an NFL team, by the way, in this season, you're behind the curve.
I hear you, but
certain teams can't, like the Giants can't.
No, they don't have the personnel. No. I agree with you, like as a concept, but I think that they looked at Flacco's body language and they're like, not that you should necessarily just react to that.
Flacco's the same.
He's a rhythm guy.
He's the same guy. Like same thing.
He's not going to move.
Eli. Flacco, yeah. Even Brady, but they can't put that stuff in.
Don't get smoked at homecoming. Safe trip out of Virginia. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you Monday. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.